This is Kap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Kap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's why I see him in the shot.
No shot. With Kap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Kap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you every day at 8 o'clock. We give you Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook. Download the updated PointsBet app. They got the in-game live same-game parlays. That's right. Even if the game starts, you could still get a live same-game parlay. You can also play the horses at the Club Hawthorne Wagering Centers or on the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Thank you, Secretary. We say good morning to Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How are we? Happy Football Friday.
It is a Football Friday. We have our NFL and college picks coming up in our next segment as well. So we are ready for this weekend of fun football, college and pro. Saturday and Sunday is going to be fun.
I got to tell you, I've looked at this NFL board as far as betting it a few times. I'm not sure I've ever seen a more challenging NFL board. Every game is within a field goal, it looks like. I mean, it's insane. The level of parity in this league this year. It's why, Hoodie, I brought up to you both in the meeting, the Bears being 2-1, I think people should be a little happier with it than we are, because this league, it's hard to get wins this year.
It is hard to win in this league, that is for sure. All right, Shay, what do you have?
Well, I kind of want to start with that because the Eagles are the NFL's final remaining undefeated team. They're led by MVP-caliber play from Jalen Hurts. Not long ago, though, the Eagles looked a lot like this year's Bears with a disappointing young quarterback, iffy offensive line, lacking weapons in the receiving game. They didn't have a great defense. Since then, they've built through defense. They've insulated their quarterback with an elite offensive line. And then they added a final weapon like A.J. Brown in last year's offseason via trade. So my question, shot or no shot, this process of team building should be the template for the Bears and Justin Fields?
It's a shot.
Yeah. I would say it's a shot.
Team building is, you know, as a coach, is important, right?
Yes, but you said they built the defense first, correct?
Yeah.
We have a decent defense, not a great defense,
but
they have Devontae Smith, who they traded up to get in the draft. They have A.J. Brown, and they traded multiple picks to go get. They have one of the best offensive lines in football. We're not just a couple pieces away. Just go look at the Vegas team. They're what, 0-3? They went and gave up a lot to go get Devontae Adams. If Devontae Adams got traded here, we would act like we got the greatest team in the history of the world. We're a long way from where the Eagles are.
Well, and to expound on the point and the question that I'm asking you, you look at Jalen Hurts. He's in year three as a quarterback now. It's not like they built this thing overnight. They've been going through a process of getting the team where it needs to be for their quarterback. They've finally gotten to that point. We heard Luke Getsy yesterday effectively say this year for Justin Fields, flush what happened last year out. We're going to build him from the ground up and get him to where he needs to be. So I'm asking you, 3 years down the road, that's when you're ready to do what the Eagles have done. This is the template they should follow.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure Eagles fans were trying to throw Jalen Hurts out, too. It's like, Carson Wentz was the guy, and they bring in Jalen Hurts. This kid's, and now look what's happened. See what happens with patience, Cap? As much as I didn't think much of Sirianni as a head coach, it's like, oh, this boob, another young boob. Look at how that team is humming right now.
It is.
But it's about patience at the quarterback spot.
You have to let it develop. And more than anybody, I don't mean we, you, and me, we this city.
Yeah.
We haven't had one. But we act like we know everything about the quarterback position in this town. Mitch sucks. Okay, get rid of him. Justin Fields sucks. Get rid of him. Just relax and just let it develop. Am I concerned? Yeah, I articulated those at the start of the show. Very concerned.
Shay, I'll take the Philadelphia model. I'll take the Eagles model.
It's also the Miami model.
Yeah. Well, until what we saw last night.
You just
got to
not get your quarterback killed, which so far has been the problem for the Bears, too.
Yeah, well, that is true. Tua, when he was in there and healthy, that ball was humming from the left side, was it not?
Yeah.
It was moving quickly.
Yeah, quickly.
But again, why was it accurate? You got Waddle. You've got weapons on that offense for the
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, a number of them.
Yeah.
That he can go to. So
Chase Edmonds, they got good players, man. They do.
I want that for the Bears.
They went out and fixed their left tackle position, brought in Terron Armstead. They did things that teams do when they're ready to compete. I think the Bears will be there in a couple years, and you have two teams in Miami and Philly, both had quarterbacks who were on the outs in their towns, but they found a way in year three to build a really effective offense.
All right, Shay, what's next?
All right, next up, this kind of along the same vein. If you were to rank the four sophomore quarterbacks that have played meaningful time so far, Trevor Lawrence, Davis Mills, Mac Jones, and Justin Fields, you'd be hard-pressed not to rank Fields last. However, Davis Mills, not sure what the long-term prognosis is there. Mac Jones just recently suffered what's being called a severe ankle sprain. Shot or no shot, by the end of this season, you would expect Fields to be second best at least.
That's a no shot.
Why? You think Davis Mills is going to be the second best quarterback for the rest of the season on that terrible team?
No.
That's a bad football team in Houston. Bad meaning developing. Developing. You saw him.
I loved Trevor Lawrence. You remember this.
Sure.
That was the guy for me.
Sure.
If they win this weekend in Philly, they are the best team in the NFL through 4 weeks. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
They 38-10 over the Chargers. They shut out the Colts. You go into Philly and beat the only undefeated team left. They're the best team in the NFL if that happens. They may get blown off the field. But if they win, I love Trevor Lawrence. Doug Peterson is what a Super Bowl. He obviously can coach.
Maybe the Bears should have hired him. Sorry.
Did we interview him?
No, he was in camp with Nagy. Remember?
Well, he's one of Nagy's best friends. But he also is the guy that called Nagy and said, Carson Wentz, you guys are considering him? Run as far as you can the other way. And that's why the Bears never made an offer.
Well, besides the point, that's an offensive guy that's actually got skins on the wall.
He's got a freaking ring.
No, friendship aside, they probably should have talked to Doug Peterson about the job.
Probably
was
right.
Was he in here? Maybe did he come in here and interview?
I don't know.
I mean, there's a guy there. You want to know why the offense is better. Well, what would you rather have? Urban Meyer with his finger where it's not supposed to be? Or Doug Peterson?
I'll take Doug Peterson.
Yes.
Well, and that's always the question, especially when you have a young quarterback. And it was the big question when Eberflus got hired. Why are you going with a defensive guy? You look around the league, every coach that got hired except Eberflus was an offensive mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say to that answer that Fields will not be the worst quarterback of the four sophomores, Cap. He will not be. Mac Jones will be the last one on the team.
How many games did the Patriots win last year? 10?
10.
I mean, Mac had a pretty solid rookie year.
If you remember, though, his best performance, like the marquee win of the season, he threw 3 passes.
It's going to be Mac Jones or Davis Mills. I expect for Fields not to be the worst of the sophomores. That's what I expect.
Zach Wilson's making his first start this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how he develops. Curious.
So at the end of the season, it's not last. Why can't it be third?
It could be third, I guess.
I'll lock in third.
Can but right now, nothing looks good.
Shay, I'll say third.
I would hope that he gets up to second. I would hope he's better than Davis Mills. I don't think he'll be better than Trevor Lawrence this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think third is reasonable. I would hope he gets to second.
Shay.
All right. I do want to ask about Tua Tagovailoa. Some players, former players, were weighing in on the players' union response to this. The players' union is opening an ongoing investigation into the concussion protocol and whether the Dolphins behaved appropriately in clearing Tua to play. Mm-hmm. Former Kansas City offensive lineman Mitchell Schwartz eviscerated the union on Twitter. He said, quote, "We'll fight like hell to keep QBs who sexually assault women from getting suspended for too long, but when one of the good guys has concussive symptoms, returns to the game, doesn't enter concussion protocol, and is allowed to play 4 days later, quote, our investigation is ongoing." He added, "And look, miss me with, but the doctor said it was his back. Doctors okayed him. He banged his head on the ground, got up, grabbed his head, shook it side to side, then stumbled around and couldn't walk. Maybe, just maybe, put him in concussion protocol for the week." So my question, shot or no shot, the Dolphins should be held accountable for having Tua in that game at all.
Yeah, well, that's a shot. Yes, they should be held accountable. Yes. But as we've been saying, We don't know what went into the tests and the protocol to get him back on the field on Thursday, Cap. Like, again, from everything I've seen from football, when you're wobbly like that, that looks like a concussion. It was. It looked more than a back injury. It looked like a concussion to me.
It did. He staggered.
But I'm not a doctor. And for him to come back out there, again, people before the game were calling it, saying that Tua should not be playing in that game on Thursday. I don't know. Because it's a short week, that would make sense to me for him not to play. But the doctors cleared him. So how does the NFL go through those tests? Do they go through what the doctors found, go through the tests to determine whether or not the Dolphins were negligent or not?
The NFLPA now says there's an ongoing investigation.
If they put that kid back out there just to beat the Bills, that's a bad job by Miami.
Horrible.
And they've done a lot, obviously, lately that has not been very good as an organization.
Now, Mike McDaniel will probably tell you, I'm in the middle of coaching a game here, and in my headset they tell me he's cleared. He can play.
McDaniel sounds pro player to me. Everything I heard, you heard all the press conference, or most of it, right? So did I on NFL radio.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Yeah.
He cares about the player.
He does.
But you know what happens. It's out of his hands. Is the guy thumbs up or thumbs down? Is he ready to play? You sure? What do the tests say? Okay, get out there.
Right.
What's the coach going to do?
Correct. Independent doctor just cleared him. All right, get out there. Kid wants to play. Did you say, by the way, that all the coaches that were hired other than Matt were all offensive coaches?
I believe that was true. Is that not true?
Four defensive coaches.
Who were they?
Dennis Allen, defensive coordinator now in New Orleans. Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator in Tampa.
Okay.
Lovie Smith and Matt Eberflus.
I believe the first-time coaches, for the most part, were offensive. Eberflus, first-time defensive head coach. A lot of the teams with young quarterbacks highly prioritize getting offensive guys.
Yeah.
So it's a shot. Dolphins are
culpable.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Shay, you got one more? Or
I do. It's actually about Tom Hanks and something he said in Variety I found very interesting.
All right.
Really?
So Tom Hanks has acted in over 80 movies throughout his career. He recently did a Variety interview. He said of those 80-some movies, four are pretty good. My question, shot or no shot, Tom Hanks is actually on the Mount Rushmore of Hollywood actors.
That's a shot. He's amazing. And from what I hear, one of the most quality human beings you'll ever deal with.
That fair, JR?
Never met him, but I love Tom Hanks movies. Man, he's been in some amazing movies.
You know, maybe from his standpoint, he feels like only a handful of them have been excellent. He said pretty good. Was that the quote?
Yeah, he said four were pretty good. He didn't offer which four. I imagine Forrest Gump is one of them.
Gotta be.
You know, it's something to be said about someone who entertains. We're in the entertainment business, actually. We're on a weak limb, but we're on the limb, the tree of entertainment. The sports is part of the limb.
Correct.
So we can walk out of here after a show and feel either good about a show, or you don't know if the show is any good, but people on the outside will tell you it was excellent. It's like, oh, is that what happened? I don't know. So from Tom Hanks' standpoint, even though he put so much time into it, and he could see the box office numbers and people could tell him it was good, but maybe in the moment he doesn't know.
Cody, I think that's a great point too, because the days that we do a great show, we walk out of here knowing we did a great show. You know, like when you do something that's really great, you know it.
You're correct.
Yeah. But, I mean, more times than not, I don't. So that's the thing. Someone else has to tell me, because a lot of stuff I'll forget.
Correct.
I'm really blacked out here between 7
like
and 10.
I walked into TV yesterday, and they're all talking about one of the topics we had in Deal Breakers. I'm like, all of you heard it? Yep. We listen every day.
Hey, we have got Courtney Cronin coming up on the Bears, the latest on the Bears with her coming up at 8:35. Coming up next, we will go through our picks for college and pro. All part of the mix right here. On Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and J-Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Captain J Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, John DeHood with you still to come on the show. We'll hear from Courtney Cronin, the latest on the Bears with her at 8:35. And we're giving away two Hawthorne Racecourse packages today worth $250. We will take care of you at 8:50. So stay by your listening device if you want. Two Hawthorne Racecourse packages. We'll give them away at 8:50 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. We got Shea, we got JR, we got you now for our college and NFL picks for a football Friday. All right, Shea, what do you have?
Hoodie, why don't you update us with the standings after 3 weeks? I know I'm down in the doldrums.
Well, Cap, of course, 14-12-12. A solid 14-12-12. My guy. Is that so? Oh, is it one? Oh, I see. 1, 2, 3, 4. I got it. It's 14-12-1. That's what it says here. See, you got your sheet, Cap? 14-12-1. Whoever's the other producer, that could be...
Yeah, whoever that is. Yeah.
That's 14-12-1 as well, so you guys are tied.
Huh, interesting. Okay.
Take that.
Other producer
way
says
to copy
here.
Me, JR.
Jay Hood is 13-13-1. Shay, pulling up the rear at 10-16-1.
It's as hard to go 10-16-1 as it is to go 16-10-1. I am a phoenix rising from the ashes. Let's go.
You're a phoenix ass rising from the ashes.
Exactly.
That's what you are.
Number 7, Kentucky heads to number 14, Ole Miss, down in the Grove. Ole Miss, a 7-point favorite against a higher-ranked opponent. I think you close your eyes and you ride the lightning. Give me the Rebels, Ole Miss.
Yeah, I like Kentucky. Chris Rodriguez is back running the football for Kentucky. So now you have a versatile passing game and running game. Levis, the quarterback, has been very solid. I like Kentucky in a close game. That's what I like. So I'm going Kentucky plus 7 against Ole Miss.
JR, go ahead.
I will take Ole Miss. I think Zach Evans, if healthy, will run the ball well, and they will have a lot of time on the clock. And Kentucky bluegrass isn't really good to smoke. I'll take Ole Miss.
He's tried it.
Wow. You're going Ole Miss. I am not a Lane Kiffin guy at all.
Okay.
Coaches. He wears his welcome out quickly in places. I fully expect he'll find some other Jackaloon University to hire him away after this year. But he hasn't worn it out yet. Give me Ole Miss.
All right, number 9, Oklahoma State goes to Waco, taking on number 16, Baylor. Baylor, a 2-point favorite. Quarterback for Oklahoma State, Spencer Sanders, 7 interceptions in 2 games against Dave Aranda's Bears. Give me the Bears.
I like the Bears as well. Take the over in this one as well.
I will take Coach Gundy.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Close game.
I'm with JR. I'm a man!
Come after me! I'm a man. I'm 40.
Basically. A little older than that, but I'm going Coach Gundy and the Cowboys to win it outright.
All right, our final game on the college slate. Number 10, NC State heads to number 5, Clemson. Clemson, a 6.5-point favorite. This game's going to be played in hurricane weather. I think that impacts the NC State side a lot. Give me the Wolfpack.
Yeah, I like Clemson in a 6.5. You know, the problem with Clemson is their defense and not DJ Ungalalele, their quarterback. So I think they have enough offense to get it done, JR. I like Clemson and the 6.5.
I like Clemson as well at home in that weather. 36 in a row at home. Give me the Tigers.
I'm all in. Dabo Swinney, my favorite coach. I'm going Dabo. They win this by 10.
I love the keen analysis based on the coach. It's the best. It's as if we're talking college basketball.
Correct.
It's unbelievable.
I like his program. They're very
Come
disciplined.
After me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I like McCaffrey. He's good at Iowa. Take that.
Take that. And by the way,
coach analysis.
DJ Ungalalele dropped about 15 pounds off his frame. He's a little lighter on his feet, a little quicker to evade the rush and step up in the pocket, make something happen with his legs. Clemson by 10.
Going to do that in a hurricane? Speaking of hurricane weather, the Buffalo Bills will travel to Baltimore. 90% chance of rain in this game. Ravens run first. Lamar might be the best player in football right now. I'm taking Baltimore.
Hell of a game. Give me the Bills. JR?
Yeah, I'll take the Bills. Special teams wins on that one.
Really? That's why you're picking them?
Yep.
He thinks it's going to be tight.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Buffalo Bills are a better football team. I will take the Bills. They win it by a touchdown.
I like the way they're coached. McDermott's got them going.
Oh, that's why you're taking them?
I like him.
He did a hell of a job at Creighton. And
not that McDermott. Not Doug.
Greg.
Not him either.
Could shoot the ball when the Bulls traded up to get him.
It's now into Sean football.
It's unbelievable.
Oh. I'll take the Bills anyway.
All right. We got the Mahomes-Brady Bowl, the Chiefs at the Buccaneers. It sounds like this game will be played in a sold-out.
Hang on.
Hold on a second.
What was that?
I mean, JR, did you see someone just come out of a Better Homes and Gardens magazine?
She just dropped out of the sky from Oktoberfest in Munich.
I was typing. I totally missed all that.
The Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, and she got off the boat. What? I know it's radio, and Danny's probably like, at least describe it.
I mean, just the idea that she was wearing like a brown dress.
Smock.
That's pretty much a smock,
With a ruffled, like gold shirt, high boots. She looked like she was a pilgrim.
She would have been referred to in 1968 as groovy.
Yes.
Says the guy wearing a vest in the studio. Go ahead, Shay.
Oh! All right, let's get back to the Mahomes-Brady Bowl, boys. Chiefs at Bucks. This game, it sounds like, will be played in Tampa Bay at a sold-out Raymond James. For that reason, I think you ride with Tampa Bay.
Do you have the latest line on that? Is it still a pick'em?
It's a one in some places, a half in some places. I locked it in at a pick yesterday. We're going with the pick.
I like the Chiefs.
So do I. I'll take the Chiefs.
Wow. I'm going to take the Buccaneers.
Cap's a smart guy.
Why?
Because they have a quarterback. He's a little older. He's cagey, and I think Kansas City's a bit of an overrated team. I think they're good. Don't get me wrong. I wish we had the Chiefs roster. I don't think they're all that in a bag of chips. I'm going Buccaneers.
Shay agrees with you, so that makes you a smart man.
That's right.
It's funny. LeVar Ball said the same thing about you.
LeVar's a smart man.
Go ahead.
All right, Rams at Niners. The 49ers, a one-and-a-half-point favorite against Los Angeles. 49ers don't look right to me. Trent Williams might not play. Give me the Rams.
I like the Rams.
I also like the Rams.
Yeah, I think San Francisco gets healthy here. 49ers get her done because they're going to run the football right at Aaron Donald, and he will do a very good job at the point of attack, which will allow Jimmy G to make some plays in the passing game.
Hopefully he won't step out of bounds.
Big day for Brandon Ayuk.
Three games left on the slate. Let's fly through these. Patriots at Packers. I may be in attendance at Lambeau, and I will be rooting on my Pats. So I'm picking the Patriots. No, I have not.
Either.
You done?
Yeah.
I haven't been there. Hello. Packers. I like the Packers to win the game outright.
So do I. Packers by a lot.
Ooh. I think the Packers win just like they did over the Bears. Something like 27-13, something like
that. It's Hoyer, right?
No word yet. It may be Mac Jones.
Okay. Next.
Vikings, a 3-point favorite in London, taking on the Saints. These London games are always funky. They always get off to weird starts, low scoring. Everybody's high off their scones pregame. Give me the Saints.
I don't know, because as what Shay said, it's in London. So I'm just leaning Saints. My lean is Saints for this one. I'm not sure. I believe it's the Saints.
Make a pick!
My lean is the Saints. I don't know. Could be the Vikings. Could be the Saints. I don't know.
All right, Carm, make a pick.
Saints. I'll take the Saints also. Yep. They go marching in.
And you went Saints, Chad?
Yes, sir.
So yeah, you guys are all going to take an L on this one. Woo-wee! You like that? Vikings.
Final game on the slate in New Jersey. Bears at Giants. Giants a 3.5-point favorite. Give me the Bears and keep the points. Bears on the money line. We're going 3-1.
Giants by field goal.
So with 3.5, who are you taking?
Giants by a field goal.
Uh-huh. So with 3.5, who are you taking? We had this discussion already. Pick one.
The Bears.
I will take the Giants because I feel the same way you do. And with that hook, I'm going to lean on it.
Uh-huh.
Yep, Giants.
Giants win by 7 or more. I will take the Giants as one of my better plays this weekend.
And also, go to your app and see if you can take a look at the running game. I'm sure there's some props on running with Barkley and or Khalil Herbert.
Yes, no question.
Keep your eyes on that because they're going to be running the football both teams. It's going to be amazing. Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears next on Cap and J Hood.
Listening to Cap and J Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and J Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Mike Greenberg comes your way at 10, followed by Black and Abdallah. They'll be in from 12 to 2, in for Carmen and Yurko, because Sylvie, Carmen and Yurko will be broadcasting live from Legends in Woodridge for Miller Lite. It's Miller time, for they'll be together. Sylvie, Carmen, and Yurko from 2 to 6, right into Tyler Aki from 6 to 8, in for Black and Abdallah. And then we got hot White Sox baseball as they take on the San Diego Padres. Right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000.
Hallelujah, they won a game. How about the Cubs? They swept away the Phillies, who are now tied for the last wild card. They rolled in here and lost. Take that.
Better than the White Sox in the second half, the Cubs.
That's it.
Don't forget, in our next segment, stay by your listening device, and how you can win two Hawthorne race course packages today worth $250. We'll take your calls coming up at 8:50, an opportunity for you to win a Hawthorne race course gift package. Here's Courtney Cronin. She covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. She joins us here on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. Courtney, thanks for your time.
No problem. Hope you guys are having a good start to the weekend.
Ready to go, Double C.
That's right. It starts with you. Now the good time starts, because we can chop it up with you about the Bears. So how similar, Courtney, are the Bears and Giants going into this one?
I think they're very similar. I think you've got two quarterbacks who have, you know, pretty obvious deficiencies in their games, but the teams have been able to win in spite of those things. And two teams that are 2-1 right now, and by the end of this weekend, the first quarter of the season, I don't really know how to do math anymore with 17 games, but to me, four games means the first quarter of the season's over. You're going to have a team that's 3-1 and probably one of the bigger surprises in the NFL at that point, because I don't think many people thought that the Bears and the Giants would be sitting at these spots respectively. And you know, there have been some good moments, certainly for the Chicago team, leaning on its run game, knowing that its run block is, you know, very, very good, despite people looking at its pass protection and saying that that might not be as good. But, you know, defensively, too, there have been a lot of really good surprises with this Bears team. And I think on the flip side of that, you're seeing a Saquon Barkley for the Giants, who looks like the old Saquon Barkley that we were so used to seeing before all those injuries started mounting up for him early in his career. So, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of parallels that you can draw between these two teams in terms of new front office, new coaching staff, and, you know, a team roster makeup-wise that is kind of similar.
As Courtney, as you watch the tape, and I know you do, I get the All-22. I talk about it with Hoodie every week. I watch it. I run it back. I mean, I sit at my desk all afternoon, and I'm like, Justin, on the 29-yard scramble that had everybody all geeked up and excited at Soldier Field, he had multiple receivers open, and he will not pull the trigger. That, to me, is more concerning than airmailing a guy or making a bad decision trying to fit it into a tighter window. Are you in agreement with that?
Yes, because I think sometimes that's him trying to, like, he's doing too much too soon, and that can be a product of not letting your reads develop downfield, not reading the defense the proper way. And I know that Luke Getsy, you know, talked about that one specific play, that 29-yard scramble, which was the longest of his career. You know, he's got to process faster on that. So with Mooney on that play, like, that's who he was trying to fit the ball to initially, at least, like, he was waiting for that route to develop. The corner route gets taken away. He could have hit Dante Pettis on the check down instead. And Luke Getsy talked about this, like going through what should have happened, what didn't happen. And there's some things in there where I think some of the coaching points need to come out maybe in a little bit more aggressive manner of like, no, this doesn't need to be, it didn't need to be a broken play, if that makes sense. Like, I think that there were ways for him where he could have sensed the pressure differently or been able to scan his eyes to a different part of the field to find somebody. I mean, even on the Cole Kmet interception, if you look over to the visitor's sideline, you've got Equanimeous St. Brown wide open. And if you throw the ball there, that's a touchdown. So it's like, it's little things like that that we're starting to see, and especially when you can watch it back on the All-22 and be like, all right, well, this guy was open. This would have been a better play than throwing into, you know, triple coverage with Mooney on the second interception. He could have taken a check down. Like, it's a lot of things like that where you hope that from week to week, Fields' vision starts to get better and those plays actually do get completed, where it's not a bailout because it's an unnecessary bailout, or obviously they don't want an interception or a turnover.
You covered a lot of young athletes in your career, in college and pros, and so we were playing back the audio that was sent back to us from Justin Fields, and boy, we got a lot of five-second sound bites, got a lot of nine-second sound bites. So what do you think about Justin's demeanor? Because we've talked somewhat on the show this week about leadership and how, for better or for worse, Justin's one of the pillars of the team and one of the faces of the team. What do you think of I guess, his personality and his answers that he's giving you?
Well, I'll go back to body language, because there was a play that might have been on the Mooney drop, or it was one that he, and it wasn't the interception. It was one that they didn't connect on, and his body language after that was poor. You can watch him like on the field in the game, and it's like when you kind of throw your head back and you're frustrated, the rest of the roster, the rest of your teammates feel that. And, you know, guys throughout practice during the week, like, you know, demeanor changes. And obviously when Fields goes up there, he knows things that he says are going to be picked apart and he's going to be under a more severe microscope. But this is also the same guy coming out of a loss against Green Bay saying he wants to show more of his personality and, you know, that he has to be more careful with some of his words. Like, it felt like he took a step back from that this week by looking pretty miserable up there. And I know that it's got to be tough, because this is somebody who shoulders a lot of the reason the offense didn't play well. I mean, he called his performance trash. Like, if he didn't feel that way, I don't think he would have gone out there and fallen on the sword for it on Sunday. But that falls back on him, and that in terms of, like, the way that it makes him look as a leader, the way that it makes him look as somebody who's growing through this, it's not necessarily the best look of being able to flush it and make it seem like it's not going to affect you, because we can go back to the first play of the game, the fumbled center and quarterback exchange on the snap. That carried over for him. It almost felt like he couldn't move past that moment, and he's had trouble doing that. And you saw the conversation picked up with him, Luke Getsy, Trevor Siemian on the sideline after, I believe it was the Cole Kmet interception, of just talking through what went wrong. You know, his overall body language, demeanor, the way he speaks, like all things like that, you know, reflect how quickly he's able to actually do that and be able to go on to the next play, because that stuff carries over into games.
More with Courtney Cronin. I want to talk to Courtney about Justin's time to throw. Daniel Jones, Justin, both getting time to throw numbers north of three. We'll get into that. The ability to stop the run game. It's all coming up next. Courtney Cronin's our Bears insider. It's Cap J. Hood, ESPN.
It's Cap and J. Hood on Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap J. Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Callers 5 and 10 right now. Regular line, Shade, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. If you want to go to Hawthorne Racecourse, we got two Hawthorne Racecourse packages worth $250 each. Callers 5 and 10 will hook you up right now. Our way of saying thanks for keeping it locked to Cap and J. Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000.
So Courtney Cronin is with us, our great Bears insider. She does an awesome job. She breaks down the tape. Like, for Courtney, I think you're like me, Courtney. Glass of wine and the All-22 is a good night, right?
Yeah, that sounds like a Tuesday.
Exactly. So I want to ask you about the comparison between Justin Fields and Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is completing 64% of his passes, Justin 51. Completion passer rating, 82.7 to 50. Plus minus chart. Daniel's actually a positive, low, 0.3. Justin's a minus 16.1. I believe the disparity between the two quarterbacks is greater than people in this town are letting on. Do you?
Yes and no. I think that their offenses, like, it sounds weird to say, it's that they're similar, but they're different. That's like the dumbest thing you can possibly like try to like say about it, but Daniel Jones has different athletic traits than Justin Fields. You're taking Justin Fields all day, every day, if you're basing the two quarterbacks side by side and knowing who can get you out of a jam, who, you know, is a more athletic, gifted quarterback in that sense. But Daniel Jones has not shown the same sort of processing things that have shown up on tape of leaving receivers open, of not reading the defense, defenses correctly, all that. And I think some of that boils down to the fact that he has more experience doing this. Yes, he's been in a number of different offenses and has had a lot of dysfunction to work through the same way that the Bears have offensively the last couple of years. But Daniel Jones is in a contract year effectively for himself. I mean, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option for a reason. He's got to prove that he can be the guy if they want to sign him to a deal after this year. And there's a lot more, I think, riding on him at this very moment, just knowing where he's at in his development, than there is in someone like Justin Fields, who I know that people want to pull the plug on him, or some people do after 3 weeks. You're looking at somebody who only has 3 weeks of a sample size in a brand new offense. And, you know, Brian Daboll this offseason was wanting to see Daniel Jones take more risk to open it up. I mean, the Bears aren't even at that point with Justin Fields. They're trying to just get him comfortable, even though Luke Getsy and people in the building are going to tell you that they don't think he's hesitating on throws, that he's not willing to pull the trigger. Well, I think that the tape says differently on that in terms of seeing receivers that are left wide open. The fact that Fields hasn't even attempted a tight window throw yet this season. He's the only quarterback of 32 starters, the ones who qualify for that category, that fall into that category. So, yeah, both teams can lean on their run game. Both teams have questions along the offensive line. There are more similarities there than there are differences. But as far as Daniel Jones goes, in the discrepancy between him and Justin Fields, they're different quarterbacks, at least, like in the very minimum, in terms of where they both are in their development.
I would be remiss if we didn't ask you your reaction to Tua Tagovailoa and the injury that he suffered on Thursday Night Football. Cap and I talked about it earlier. Courtney, that was just horrific to watch. And again, when I saw the injury, the first thing I thought about is Sunday's game. Well, you know, we're not doctors, but we've seen enough football to think, man, is Tua concussed? He came back in the game and Miami beat Buffalo. And I know you see social media like I do. There's a lot of people that are unhappy with the Dolphins for even playing Thursday. So what do you think of that story? Got a minute left, but we want to give it to you regarding Tua.
Yeah, I think, you know, I said this on Around the Horn on Monday. Like, I have zero medical credentials. My father was a doctor, but those genes and brains were not passed down to me. But I know what I saw. He hit his head on the roughing the passer call, and I know that he claims that it was a back injury sustained on the QB sneak. Well, your spine is in your back. Spinal cord injuries and concussions, the line between the two of those is well known, and the correlation between the two of those. So I think it was egregious what happened. And of course, today there's so much discourse on social media and with everything else that's going on about how poorly the Dolphins handled this whole thing. Like, he shouldn't have been playing. Whether you had a back injury that was going to preclude you from being out there, and knowing that you could have made this thing worse because knowing where your spinal cord is and what the back is, like, all things like that played into what happened last night. I know Mike McDaniel said he would never put anybody in harm's way. I get that. But there's something very clearly, like, that needs to change with the protocols. And in situations like this, you don't necessarily need to say, well, what didn't they follow? You have to start asking the questions about the protocols that need to be strengthened to cover any sort of new, unique circumstances that you encountered. And that's what we saw on Thursday Night Football.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you Monday for a Bears Victory Monday.
Travel safely.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears and the NFL, with us here on ESPN Chicago. In 2 minutes, we're talking to you about the Bears. And we're asking the question, the Bears will win against the Giants if... We want you to fill in that blank, and also we'll get your reaction, 312-332-3776. You're in the right spot. It's Cap and J. Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Take that.